So many CEOs have always been like, oh, I use a phone to run most of my business. And nobody like blinks an eye at that. But suddenly you get a bigger screen and a keyboard and like a precision pointer, and now you can't use it for work. It's just doesn't compute.
Steve Jobs wouldn't
doesn't super compute. I mean, that too. It's like anybody who knows the context doesn't, the stylus line is bunk now. It's like that doesn't mean anything. I don't hear anyone actually saying that.
Oh,
though.
I do all the time. And maybe it's because I follow a lot of like old guard, like Macworld people or something, but just, oh my God. Like, and I'm like, wait, you were there when he said nobody reads books. You were there when he said nobody watches movies. Like, oh boy, we should start the show.
Welcome to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. My name is Matthew Castanelli, and I'm here to help teach you shortcuts.
My name is Alex Cox, and I did real work on an iPad this week. Everybody calm down. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Oh, boy.
That's impossible.
It's impossible. I really don't want the meme of you can't do real work on blank to keep going strong, because it's like my curvy wife. I don't know. It makes me giggle. Matthew Castanelli, you have an app of the month. Do-do-do-do-do.
This one I actually found on Twitter at the recommendation of Mr. Tyler Stallman, he seems to be the... I don't know how to describe someone without it being weird.
The YouTube like photo guy who reviewed the 10R recently.
Yeah, and he seems like in the Apple world, but also is like just a good filmmaker. So, but he was saying that he just found an app called TickTick, which is a productivity app.
Oh no!
Kind of in the vein of things in OmniFocus.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And I've been struggling a bit using my stuff. I don't necessarily think it's for any particular reason with the apps, but I was interested in trying this out. And even just from the screenshots, it had a calendar view and then also the ability to set tasks for time ranges. And I don't know, I tried it out and then opened it and sort of assigned my tasks. Like, you can choose a bunch of tasks for today and then you go into the calendar view and drop them where you're going to do them. And to me, it just immediately, I was like, oh, that makes tons of sense, because you, like, when you do the task is more important than knowing that you have to do the task. And my problem is that I always plan a bunch and then never end up doing the stuff. And so I basically got this, like, made a bunch of lists, and they even have little Pomodoro timers in there, which I've been experimenting with a little bit lately, just because focusing for 20 minutes and like keeping myself on task has been another part of that. And it seems great so far. Like, it's universal. It's got a web app, Mac app, iPad, iPhone, Apple Watch. And it's got a nice, I noticed too, the in-app subscription like funnel was nice, where they actually showed me the app and I used it and built and could figure out like what I wanted to use it for. And then it was like, oh, you want to use Siri shortcuts? Like, some of this stuff is in the subscription area.
Oh.
And I was like, like, they didn't immediately ask me to pay for it before I even knew what it was.
All right. I was about to drag this because I used it a while back. But looking at these screenshots and now I've just downloaded it. It seems vastly different than what I remember. It's kind of got a UI similar to Things, but the Pomodoro thing, I am very interested in this. Is there anything? Oh, you can track. Oh, oh boy. Oh boy. Here we go. All right.
What part?
The you can track your productivity over time. So I've been using my not app of the month is Toggle, which is an amazingly powerful tool unless you are using iOS a lot. Or unless you're doing tasks that you, I don't know. I mean, people on the show now know that I have a very fluid job. My job is like gender. It's very squishy and hard to define. And it's sorry. Toggle has just never stuck because it's just too much. It's too clunky. And I know they're changing that. Some of our friends are trying they're on the beta for something new. Their new, I think it's called Timer. I don't know. But this,
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. But the whole having your productivity integrated directly with your task manager is very compelling to me.
Yeah, that's what seems interesting about this. And something else too that I just noticed, it's a little weird because lists you can't exactly complete, and so figuring out. Like, I was trying to make lists and put them in folders, but really, like, the list is the area of focus, and then in there is just tasks.
Mm.
And something about it being slightly more limited actually really appealed to me, because I have a tendency to just make too much,
yeah,
and then kind of throw it all around, and this just seems like, here is the stuff I have to do, and then I'm actually, like, finally getting my own notes and things like that better organized separately, and so... Plus, it has all that. I was like, this seems pretty cool. Let me check if it has shortcuts. And then it had shortcuts. And I was like, that is like a tipping point for me. It's like, if it didn't, I might not have. But we'll see. I don't know if they have a URL scheme. I'll have to request that.
All right. This is really going to mess up my home screen. This, I am so horny for TickTick. Oh, boy. This is really, really compelling.
It's got tags too.
Oh, exact. That was my thing. I'm like, nope, done. No tags. Oh, wait. Not only are there tags, you can add them in a similar way with Todoist, where you like OmniFocus. It's relatively easy, but I love OmniFocus. I always return to my wonderful grandfather task manager. But I always like to use something different during the holidays, because my workflow and life flow is just so radically different, where there's a lot of small things that there are fewer hard deadlines for work, but there are very hard deadlines and times to be places for like events, basically.
I'm also curious, like, I want to try to use things for personal stuff, and I want to be a person beyond what I do for work. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been bad at that lately. So that's kind of, I'm interested in kind of separating out work and personal stuff a little bit more literally, but
yeah,
things is pretty expensive to just buy for personal tasks.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Oof.
So what is your pick of the month?
Okay. There's a small application that some people may have heard of called Pokemon Go. And and that is for pocket, short for Pocket Monsters Go, but basically it's, you know, if people actually don't know what it is, it's a augmented reality game, kind of sort of, for Pokemon, the beloved franchise. And you walk around and you catch little monsters. Most people know this. But recently, they've made the UI so much better. Like, it was broken for 2 years, and everybody was fine with it. Because, you know, we have our beloved Pokemon on our phones for the first time. Hooray. But recently, there was, #finally, a Pokemon game released for my favorite console, the Nintendo Switch, and it is perfect for me. And it can be deeply integrated with the Pokemon Go app, and it's just really interesting to see how Nintendo is finally embracing the mobile space, but they're doing it completely different than any other company. And I don't think they're always successful with it. There are games like Mario Run that, you know, were fine, but kind of fell off the map. Same with Animal Crossing Potcake Camp, which there are some people who are still hardcore daily users, like I am of Pokemon Go. But I just like seeing game companies doing a completely different strategy rather than trying to port their games directly to iOS when it's clearly not a good fit. So if you have fallen off the Pokemon Go train, and I would, if it is your jam, I understand that some people, much like how some people are like, oh, good Lord, I don't want to hear about another task manager. Oh, good Lord, I don't want to hear more about Pokemon. If you have any inclination, or if you have kids, like, it is very pleasant. Zach Gage, probably my favorite iOS game designer, it was like, I've replaced my Twitter habit with Pokemon Go. And that's kind of what I've done, ironically, as I'm scrolling Twitter, liking all of Zach Gage's tweets.
I just imagine you wake up first thing in the morning and start playing Pokemon Go immediately, like I do with Twitter.
Well, okay. I made the dumb shortcut. A lot of my shortcuts that I've been making are incredibly dumb, but end up being also incredibly useful. So every morning I leave the house and say, hey, supercomputer, it's go time, which turns, all it does is turn off my Wi-Fi connection to my house, and then or Wi-Fi on my phone, and opens the Pokemon Go app so that I can connect my little Pokemon Go accessory that automatically catches Pokemon. And the thing is, it's actually also useful because I have Wi-Fi, you know, that's like just strong enough that it's trying to get it to the garage. Yeah, exactly. So again, it would be cool if I could do this, have a location-based thing that does this, but meh. Oh, it also sets it to my phone to low battery, or battery, whatever it's called on iOS. And then I have a
low power mode.
Low power mode. And when I get to work, I have a similar thing that is, hey, supercomputer, I'm at work now, and it turns the Wi-Fi back on, turns off the battery thing. I've already forgotten. And pulls up my office, my OmniFocus office perspective. So, yeah. It's a silly thing that I encourage people to try out.
I'm totally stealing the Wi-Fi part because I don't think I have it as much lately, but when you like go on walks or something like that and start leaving and then try to play something that's not fully downloaded, and then it's like, oh, am I on Wi-Fi? Am I on cellular? Like that's a nice tip there.
The end. Is this the end of our monthly app segment?
Yeah, sure. I got to connect the game, the Let's Go, and then the Pokemon Go app. I still haven't done that yet, but maybe we'll follow up and see our progress.
We've been talking off air a bit, and I believe you've created a list that I'm very, very interested in hearing.
Mm-hmm. It is my criticisms of iOS, because there is more than just needing USB-C file transfer that's lacking from iOS right now. And it seems like everybody chose to use the iPad Pro reviews to review iOS also offhandedly.
Yeah.
And so it's also like, this is in theory the time that they make all of those decisions, and so we gotta give them some fodder.
Mm-hmm. That's not even something that crossed my mind, is half of the reviews are just dunking on iOS, and I'm not mad. I'm fine.
I mean,
I've
been saying that to you, that everybody's mad at Apple's annual release cycle, not anything else really. And I'm glad that at least Shortcuts is still going on, because that keeps me happy enough, but not the angry mob.
Mobs don't get real work done. All right. What are some of your... I have a feeling I'm going to fight back with a lot of these things, and I'm going to have more to add.
You haven't even seen it.
I know, but that's why I just got a feeling. Go for it. What is the first legit criticism of iOS?
I kind of went feature specific problems and not like an overarching issue. I'll just pick one. Pencil control for UI gestures. So if you use the Apple Pencil, you can't move, slide over, or anything like that. You can't swipe on the home indicator to go back home. Mm-hmm. You can't do any of that stuff. And I think that just needs to come. Maybe it is like a technical thing, because if you go off the edge of the screen, how does it know that the pencil's attached? Whereas like with the thumb, I'm sure they do some like messy, if your thumb shape is angled off the edge, they can tell that you're doing that. Still, that just seems like a straight up thing that would make using the UI so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know if you could do some sort of probably not the double tap thing, but.
It just seems like low hanging fruit that, again, I don't want to say it just seems missing from iOS, but that it is true. And we know iOS is not, the iPad is not released along with a new operating system. The new stuff is going to be coming, and it's going to be a very exciting summer, but I'm not going to trash the iPad for I'm going to fight back. I don't think that is a legit criticism of iOS, because that some people could argue that it is by design in certain drawing apps when you want to, you know, do like really close edge to edge stuff. And I guess in settings you could change it up, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Those apps should be able to control it. You think you can? I mean, they went as far as to give us the ability to navigate with it, but pretty much it's just hamstrung by your end. Like, you have to switch out of pencil mode and switch contexts in order to actually use the whole OS.
Honestly, I'm just surprised that they didn't do like shake to undo with the pencil. Because I know we thought by we, I mean the Apple Zeitgeist Borg, whatever, thought that it was an accelerometer, but I guess it is some touch sensitive stuff to change the pencil inputs.
I totally use shake to undo. I don't know about you.
Oh, I do all the time. And people still don't know what it is.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's hilarious with the iPad Pro, especially.
Wait, you can.
Yeah, I mean, that one's not.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean,
you can
on just iPads, if you type in.
What?
Yeah, they have an accelerometer.
What?
That's how you change.
I guess so. That's how it changes.
Port orientations. Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is going to be so entertaining. Oh, well, thank you again. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, that one's not necessarily like the hottest one, but it would be, that's one reason you might not be able to get as much work done, is because it seems like a artificial limitation as opposed to something that could be added to it. Another one that I thought this one would probably go a long way towards what people seem to want is Apple TV-like navigation of elements within apps. And I think some of this could extend from the voiceover capabilities, because apps are already able to go through like point by point, button by button, and highlight it. And even in Spotlight now, if you're using a keyboard and you arrow through the results, you can do that, as opposed to never before where you'd have to always touch it. And so that could be like a whole system-wide thing that enables people to utilize the keyboard and get more done quickly without compromising what iOS is as a touch platform.
So wait, do you mean like you would push the arrow key and it would jump through app icons, and then I'm confused.
Yeah, or in the app, just like the different elements that you can tap on or select. I assume they haven't done this because it immediately does sound like a little bit clunky, but
no, not necessarily.
I remember when Apple TV came out and James Thompson was doing a bunch of experiments, and I think he was like, this, it is very close to iOS capable. And I do love on the Apple TV how you can like rotate the little panels and kind of give them some movability while without actually changing your selection.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
One reason I'd also really like it is because if it was built in with voiceover, it would be adopted well And so developers would want it for the practical uses, but mm-hmm. it also have huge accessibility benefits.
Totally.
Siri keyboard shortcuts. I don't even know if I have to discuss this one. They should totally have a keyboard shortcut to activate Siri. Command space, just like on the Mac.
Yep. Agreed.
Or wait, nope, just kidding. No, hold command space on the Mac, because command space is spotlight. So
wait, hold command space, like you just hold it?
Yeah, on the Mac though, not on the iPad.
Oh boy. See, I that's
yeah, nobody's ever used Siri on the Mac, don't worry.
Well, in my mind I think of spot, or I think of Siri and Spotlight almost interchangeably on iOS, which is an interesting thing, because it's called Spotlight still, right? When you is it called Spotlight Search or is it Siri Search?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Spotlight Search, got it.
But it's actually, that's one thing that, okay, this could lead into another criticism, is the ability to change the an app to having support for Spotlight versus shortcuts, because I think I was, in most cases, this is actually really useful because developers don't have to do anything else besides support Spotlight, and then they get the bonus of deep link Siri shortcuts. That's like part of their developer videos, is they're like, look, you don't even have to do anything. Just tell it that you also want to support that.
Right.
But then the only time where I noticed that this was actually a problem was when Twitter was showing me shortcuts for Explore, and I actually don't want to be using that app as often, and it's surfacing those, I'd have to turn off all of the access in order to do that. So that would be nice. So many of these, I'm trying not to have them be shortcut specific, because that's a whole nother episode of what they could add to shortcuts. I have a whole other mind map for it.
So. In your mind maps. But I think it's telling, because shortcuts and Siri, it's the future of iOS. So, and I mean, that's how so many people find stuff in their phone anyway, that they're legit and important criticisms to have.
This next one comes back to the other stuff, but keyboard shortcuts for split view and slide over control.
Yes.
That would be pretty slick, because then you could just throw an app right in. Mm-hmm. And if you could spotlight search, navigate to the app, and then do like command shift right bracket and throw it into the right one or left one, like that's stuff where, I mean, that's just going to make great video material even.
Yeah.
Because I can just like go as fast as humanly possible. Universal escape with command period. So that's something that certain apps have started developing, where you, if you have a modal window open on iOS and you're using the keyboard and there's keyboard shortcut support, some apps, if you press command period, it will function as the escape key. So it's basically, and it makes sense, it's like period, you're done, command period is I'm done with this. And so that would just be nice to have like a thing that's like do this in all your apps, so that people can get used to that.
I will also push back on this one, because it seems like, I don't know. I guess it feels a little bit fiddly, which is great, but I guess I would rather want there to be a lot more fiddly things rather than we just are going with this. I mean, I guess I could say the same thing about Command Tab on iOS, but that's just a really specific one. You know, no, I like the specifics.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that enables people who are trying to replace their computer with it. Like, it is, when you get an iPad, there's no escape key. And so,
yep.
Apple's already preparing people for that.
There's a lot of computers that don't have escape keys now.
But the function still is nice. And giving a keyboard shortcut to those people is almost like a big leaf, where it's like, okay, you can do that. You don't have to go tap the screen to dismiss that modal every time.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Basically, yeah, you can do it now. Just calm down. All right, what else you got?
So this one's an interesting idea that maybe was ahead of its time. Federico's shelf idea, because it's definitely like the drag and drop stuff. So my latest video was iPad gestures, and I did show how you can do multiple drag and drop things, but it's also like, admittedly, it would be pretty nice to be able to pick those things up, drop them, go grab more and keep doing it without like floating one finger on the screen, especially if you're actually in tablet mode, because then you can kind of, it just gets a little unwieldy, mm-hmm. but that would be nice. Especially somehow like involved with shortcuts could be cool now that I'm thinking about it, because then it could utilize all of the content graph features of it and you could kind of change content while it's stored in there easily.
If people haven't Ooh. Seen your video, which they should because it's great and I learned like a million things, but sometimes there are gestures where you're literally using your whole hand to manipulate different things at once, and it's super cool. And I have now I'm now starting to get even faster at it, and it's awesome. But I also see it as an accessibility, not just a power user feature, but it's also kind of like, it'd be nice if someone doesn't have full dexterity. Like, that's the thing. Like, I have full dexterity in my hands, and it still was a little bit like, wow, like finger twister. So that would be really interesting. Yeah.
That makes sense. I think also some of those are, I'm not great at making a video showing how I use it versus when I'm just in the middle of doing something and I'm realizing that I'm like picking up a bunch of stuff.
Right.
It can be a little bit easier. That's one huge problem with iOS and iPad Pro is like, how accessible is that going to be going into the future mm-hmm. for people who have those dexterity issues? But there is all the affordances of the other ways that you can use iOS through VoiceOver and mm-hmm. Bluetooth switch control where you don't even touch the screen and stuff like that. That's where the keyboard navigation thing comes from. Is
yep.
Most of that you can already do, but people just don't know how, or it's not built for that purpose.
It's almost like people need to learn how to use a different platform because it's not the same as something they've been using for decades. Oh. All right.
I don't know. I really want a mouse, though. So that's my next point. No, just kidding.
I didn't know. I kind of
you were like, wait, what?
I mean, I'm still a little bit not quite on the trackpad train, but things that are more clever, like how you move around the cursor, things that are analogous to a mouse that work in the iPad form.
Like a precision pointing tool that you hold in your hand.
Yes.
But then you can use to navigate the system entirely.
Well, as you just said, there are still improvements to be made to the pencil.
Exactly. That's what it was. Yeah. I mean, I just used... did you say you're a mouse person?
No, I'm a trackpad person. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I just turned on a Magic Mouse for the first time today in like a year. And I was like, oh yeah, mouses. Okay, I forgot everyone doesn't just use trackpads.
Yeah, I use it purely for just to give my hand a break because I'm so scared of RSI. So maybe once a week I'll use a mouse and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, I'll throw out one line here that I think the iPad Smart Cover is the only ergonomic keyboard out there because it's the only one with the lowest profile.
Oh,
every
shit.
Other keyboard you have to angle back and that's not...
Oh man, I'm going to say I agree, but
in a specific type of ergonomics, not necessarily the way your hands are angled, but the arc of your wrist is what I mean.
I'm going to go one step further. The iPad Smart Keyboard Now Smartfolio is my favorite keyboard of all time.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. I've always so this is also, man, this is like triple aside now, but I picked up my iPad 10.5 inch and I was like, I don't remember this keyboard being so loose. Like, it's so loose. Like, the keyboard itself, I never had the same folding issues that you did, but I definitely noticed that at the end it just didn't like stay flush against the top of the screen. And when I would flip it behind it, it would like pop out to the right of the iPad, almost like a quarter of an inch. And I would just always take it off if I ever used it like that. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But I've been able to type on my lap the whole time. And mm-hmm. I love that. Like, It's no mechanical keyboard, but at the same time, I've never had any problem with it, and probably because of that angle.
Oh, it's so good. Now that everybody is upset, do you have what are some more criticisms of iOS?
One that I noticed, and I couldn't even figure out after I published my video, was I pick up an app from Spotlight and it automatically dismisses itself. And then other times when I do that, it doesn't automatically dismiss. And I don't know why. And I mean, I think I assumed as I was filming it that it was like some new thing that they had just adjusted, or even that I'm on the developer beta and maybe they just fixed it. But then when I switched to my other iPad, it wasn't doing it. And I think being able to bring it up Spotlight, pick up an app and have Spotlight dismiss automatically is really important, because otherwise nobody will ever know that you could do that unless they watched my video.
Yep.
Because if you go into Spotlight, you don't think you can, like, you have to pick up the app and tap the cancel button and then you can use it. And which is like, if you know that, it's great because you can do it, but it should be way more easy than that. And I think that would go a long way.
I think that was one where I really felt like I would have never discovered that in a million years.
And that's a game changer too.
Yes.
Like, you being able, that's where I discovered that I didn't need to keep like a perfect dock or anything like that. Or even, I mean, so I'll just say this now, that I have the worst home screens of anybody ever. And I have no idea how to use them, because when you use shortcuts as much as I do and you use Spotlight search, it like stops mattering. But then I start putting them in folders, and then I take them out of folders and put them all over. And I mean, at least if you don't know, and this works on iPhone too, you can pick up an app and then keep tapping on other apps and pick them all up into a stack and move them at once. And I think the day that this happened, I was like, Apple nerds who share their home screens everywhere can rejoice, because it was totally like, oh my God, this used to take at least 2 hours, and now it can only 20 minutes to rearrange your entire home screen, which is bad because I always want to do it, but
I don't have a problem. You have a problem. Everything's fine.
But that's what I think the future. I don't remember if I was saying we should do it on a live stream, but just criticize or like help me. I don't need criticism because I know that it's bad, but like, what should I do is the question. So I'll save that for now.
I'm gonna tear you apart. All right, next next thing.
Hey, I'm already torn apart myself. My next one is, both music and photos need smart playlists or albums. Like, both of those are on the Mac, not on iOS. That needs to happen, especially because it doesn't even sync over. And right now that's kind of killing me.
Yeah.
And I can totally build my own shortcuts that do the same equivalent, but being able to make it into a playlist and save that and have it up smart update on iOS, that'd be amazing. Mm-hmm.
I don't even understand why it doesn't work, because
there's got to be some system architecture. Just the way it was built was much simpler.
Yeah, I think there's some on-device stuff happening where they don't want to transfer location data, maybe. I really don't know. Meh, I agree.
Speaking of Apple Music, easier access to all of the Apple Music features, because right now it seems like I have to tap at least 5 times to get to any like Beats 1 shows or anything like that, and I'm sure that's why most people haven't ever listened to it, is because it's just too much tapping. Especially on the iPad, you always have to like bring up the little top left corner in order to switch like what type of view you're looking at. And it just seems like there's so much in here that could be more useful, but it's sort of almost like a political battle where like who gets what priority where. And then if you just didn't look at that one part where like, do you know how to get to mood playlists on Apple Music?
I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Exactly. Or like stuff that you can do, artist radios, and a lot of those aren't linkable. And I was trying to do that today. That's another one. There's so much with there.
That's
with
the
it,
thing. And I just want a new Apple Music. It's just so, it's a trash fire. I know that
it's at least usable now, but
yeah.
It's not.
Apple Music, you can use us now.
This one is like, I'm going to be upset if they don't add this. It's just dual pane apps, like the same app showing two different versions of what you have inside, like two different documents or something like that.
Yeah.
It just seems like a super common one that they've already added with Safari and could easily come. And then it may, a lot of people who need like the Windows on Mac can then use multiple. I mean, if you could do, I don't know if you actually want this, but two split screen apps, both with two panes and then slide over, you could have like five apps open at once. I don't recommend that, but
possible. In all seriousness, you know, having two, for example, using something like Drafts where you have different workspaces and then you've got your research on the side and maybe it's two Safari tabs or something and you're pulling one password or like, you know, little utility apps up and around. I don't think it's like, yes, theoretically you could have five apps open at once, but I think it's more of I don't think people would abuse this feature, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
The problem that this solves is context switching, where I am in a Pages document and I want to go look at another one. I have to leave the one that I'm in, go to the other one, go back out, and then go into the other one. And just being able to like have that window or that particular instance of that app like stay present, and even just like the recents part of files maybe could just get better there or something like that. That's, I guess that leads into my next one, is the files app needs better search. That's one that I'm like waiting for every review to talk about, and then nobody even mentioned it because they didn't use it.
Yeah, but it's like they haven't used files before.
And so many people act like that doesn't even exist. And I use it a decent amount now because you can, I think the visual metaphor of like a row of folders makes much more sense to me on touch as opposed to on a Mac. Like I never use that
for sure
grid view. And then when you can, especially with like drag and drop, I need, okay, here's another one within this. I need persistence of the sorting that I use because I want to sort the outer folders by date and then like some folders by name. And I have to, it just switches and it never stays in between those. And that would be really nice. And I know that you can do that on Mac, but I never knew how, and it just happens. Or maybe that's automatic, but
yeah, it depends on what you're doing in the Finder and what kind of Finder or window you have open. But I know what you mean. And that's the thing. I have used files so infrequently that I hadn't even thought that would be useful. And you're absolutely right. Slowly, I'm using it more and more, especially for Keynote stuff, because for work, I have to make a lot of keynotes. And the visual metaphor, yes, not for typical like worky work stuff, like comedy keynotes.
Yeah. Presentations are a very interesting format. I wrote up a whole thing of like, here's what's the deal with Siri shortcuts for clients. And I did that all, and it helped me a lot of think through how to progressively tell someone, like reveal the information to them in a way that's relevant by just like not having it be one page or like five pages of text. It's individual slides and stuff like that.
Or if you don't have a laptop or an iPad with Q Labs on it, you can hack it to sort of do theater cues.
Oh, nice. Tags being a little bit more prevalent on iOS would be nice, because I do think the mixture of folders and tags is very powerful, and I'm totally comfortable with that metaphor on iOS even, because I think it came to Mac, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone actually using it that
Me.
Much.
And that's great. Actually, I mean, that's one awesome. Thing that I use. I use it a ton, because just sharing it's not that I need tags on my Mac. It's more that I tag things for other people, if that makes sense. Like, it just becomes easier in iOS to find things because of that visual metaphor. Like, on the Mac, it's just a little dot, and it's a pain in the butt. But with on iOS, just getting through stuff is much easier. And to have that just everywhere, I mean, man, you know me, I just want tags everywhere. Tags on all things.
That's great. And I am curious, specifically, I want to know more about how you use that, but I feel like we should say
yeah,
another show or something.
It's real nerdy.
And that's something also that every media person who lives in Gmail can probably get behind, because tags are fantastic, and that's what makes Gmail Gmail to me.
Well, actually, I believe it's labels, Matthew. Yeah, just all right.
I almost just walked out of this room.
So, all right, where are we in your list?
I have like 8.
Okay.
And I can probably, they're not. Yeah, see, I'm telling you, it's like when you use it, there's a lot of issues that are worth criticizing, mm-hmm. and these are the things that tend to get in the way, less so like importing files from hard drive, which I totally want to do, but I also don't necessarily need it because I got that. So this comes into my next one of iCloud storage space. Of I've just been syncing my photos and videos to iCloud, which I haven't done a lot, and that's totally absurd. Like shooting a 50 minute video in 4K 60p is not something you want to be uploading to iCloud. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally considering getting Comcast business class just so that I actually have reasonable upload speeds, because I was like tweeting with Christina Warren and she's like, oh, I have 700 down and 700 up, and I'm like, I have 80 down and like 12
yeah.
up. So, and I live in the Bay Area. I'm pretty sure also that if I upgrade my internet, I will get more speeds for less money, which is fantastic that I'm still paying for all that.
Yeah. The internet is bad in so many ways.
I guess that also comes back into the iPad Pro reviews. And that's what was so interesting about the Lightroom example specifically, is that Lightroom chooses to not use Photo Sync, and it chooses mm-hmm. to which photos has. Like, what the Verge was talking about is the ability to import JPEG and RAW photos as the same image in Lightroom, which when you do it from a Mac, it has like one stack that's both of those. And that's what Photos does. And the problem is Adobe's business model, not the way that Photos works. And I totally agree mm-hmm. that Photos shouldn't be limited to being the only source, and that apps should be able to have raw import. Like, I requested that the second I got the last photo import from Shortcuts, because it only takes JPEGs right now. And I was like, come on, that's so close. But at the same time, apps, the way iOS works is that you can use photos and act on them using the photos library, like Darkroom does. And that's just now teasing their iPad app. And you can just take the photos that are in there and edit them in RAW and then export it all out when you're ready. And it's like, it's the criticism is in there, but it's also a specific choice about how to use a certain platform, and Adobe recognizing that people will pay for storage space.
Yeah.
And like, that's why I paid for Lightroom, was to get storage space and the features. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that stuff is, it's like you said, it's a new paradigm. There are other apps that do almost the exact same thing. Like, I'm like Darkroom, I'm waiting for the ability to import presets, not just create them and back them up myself, because then it's pretty much universal. And I don't know, did you see that whole article about Instagram influencers are selling Lightroom presets? And that's like because it's just a file format that you can sell.
That's,
and you can't make people also can't make it themselves.
I mean,
but yeah, I mean, it's
I almost
it sucks,
said,
but it's also genius.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's the thing. I don't know if it sucks, because there's a bunch of I pay for a lot of presets in Final Cut Pro and stuff, but it does feel manipulative. Of like, oh yeah, you want to look exactly like me? I don't know how I feel about that.
You want to be like Matthew? Yeah. Here's a new Shortcuts pack for only $4.99.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Take control of iOS.
Oh god. Oh no. Coming soon to the supercomputer Instagram. What else you got?
We need to be able to nest folders in notes. That's done. Ugh. You can do it on Mac. Let me do it on iOS. And moving on, we should be able to collaborate in real time on notes, because I don't want to use Pages, because Pages just gets like absurd when I'm just trying to create an outline for the show. And if we could live collaborate in notes and be able to type each other messages in real time or something like that,
yeah,
it's like I would be set.
Ugh. And the thing is, it's almost there too. Like there are some shows where I use Apple Notes and it's like so close, and it's almost like it either needs to be really transparent about, yeah, this is not real time collaboration, because there will be times where like I'm adding to a list and somebody else is adding to a list and then it gets all confused. But I don't know if that'll ever come either.
I actually just started moving back into notes out of Bear, because I just don't ever use my notes, and I decided that was actually a problem, because I have so many ideas about stuff, and I have not stayed organized. Like I had all these systems from past lives basically that no longer work for me. And the one thing that was holding me back was the ability to kind of web clip pages into an app and kind of keep an archive of it. And like part of my evaluation was, I've almost never looked at those once I did that. And I spent a lot of time trying to get those to work. And then the other one was, you can share a web page and make it a PDF in Safari, and it will make a full web page PDF out of that. And then you can bring that into notes and mark it up with the Apple Pencil. And really what I want from capturing a web page is context and the ideas. And so I'm totally doing the like take a web page and mark it up, which is like, I'm sure 2 weeks ago I said I could never see myself doing that. And then it's like, oh, that's actually like, that's what I want. I want to just find the right information by highlighting it and stuff like that. And for some reason I've always resisted that, but PDFs are amazing. Like I remember a Mac Power Users episode. No, for sure. I think it's like the least sexy, but amazing document tool. Like there was a Mac Power Users episode that blew my mind a while back, because I don't think I ever really thought of it as like a container where you can put multiple documents in there and things like that. But I don't really use them a whole lot, but it's much more than just like a flat version of your Pages document or your Word document. Those are pretty interesting. Expansion of reading list is one that I want. I don't know if this isn't like holding iOS back or anything like that, but right now if you use reading list, you can't export any of that information and you can't really do anything with it. That would be really nice.
Give me an example of what you would use that for though. That's interesting.
Read it later stuff is a whole mess of problems that I have where none of the solutions are good enough for me, where everything always does one thing. Basically, if Instapaper kept my organization in their archive, I would be happy. But all the organization you do in the world in Instapaper gets dumped into an archive bucket. And then I have Pocket, where I spent like ages tagging all of my articles and I would just never read them, because something about Pocket's designs just never appealed to me. And even their new speak tech stuff is, it's robots. Like, I don't want to listen to robots. I want to, like, the Siri voice is what I want. And if reading list, I mean, I already have a shortcut that can take an article from reading list, or this is the problem. I can't take it from reading list. I can open it and then I can speak it out loud, but I want to just be like, get latest article from reading list. The reason I use it is because it's better supported in the Mail app. And I always, I'm getting deep into like my weirdness, but I don't like reading newsletters in Mail because they're HTML. It's not email. Like, I send every single one of them the thing at the top that says, like, no images showing, view in browser. I always save that to my reading list, because then it's a link to that newsletter.
That's very good.
Yeah, but not all of them always have it. And then those don't work in, like, read it later apps, because it's not, like, an article. It's all arbitrary HTML. And so that's one of the reasons. But then it's like, any... reading list is also universally supported. I think it came from a time when Twitter didn't have a share sheet properly, and so I would just add to reading list instead. And then, but it's, for me, it's kind of like a queue where RSS tweet links and stuff that I might want to go in Instapaper, they go there first, and then Instapaper is ideally something that I'm actually going to read. But that also is totally not true, because I have like 1,000 articles in Instapaper.
Oh, God.
So.
Oh, that's a separate thing. Oh, wow. So many.
Yeah, there's...
All right, what else you got?
I mean, coming back around to keyboard support, I think that just needs to happen in almost every app that is built for iPad Pro, because if it doesn't have it, it's just kind of like, what are you guys doing? We're missing the ability to navigate or do things quickly here, especially ones that they have on the Mac already, and there's like a logical solution for that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, is that a critique of iOS or pro apps on the iOS in general? But basically parity, or some parity between macOS and iOS.
Yeah, and it's just like pushing it forward where things is shortcuts. Okay. Oh, God. Things is keyboard shortcuts, not shortcuts. There's like really made a difference. And I think I remember that was right. That might have been right when I lost my iPad and when it was stolen. And then I was like, oh, hell yeah, I can use all the. And then I was like, wait, I can't. Dang it. I can't use these on iOS now. And I was, that was like the one time I had FOMO for an iOS app, which was funny.
That is actually. Oh, boy. Okay. What else?
Okay. I've got a couple to bust through. Better control over printing. That's one that I'm totally surprised that people haven't criticized more, because you can only print whatever you're looking at, and just like very basic. There's no like two per page and stuff like that. I actually figured out a way to do it with shortcuts, but it's not exactly elegant. You basically make a PDF of the document and then combine those side by side and then print that, which is like, I guess I'm being a little hypocritical there, because yeah. I'm saying that you can use shortcuts for these solutions, but it's also like full print control is, that's just a basic.
It's also printing.
I mean, that's true, but the ability for people to be able to do that at all is still important. And if you're like, it's such an easy target for, you can't replace your computer with an iPad and then it's like, oh, we'll print this. And you're like, I can't, I have my iPad. It's like, I don't want that. I don't want to have to say that.
True. All right. Fair.
This one isn't exactly iOS specific, but voice memos on the Apple Watch is like, why did we not get that when we got it for the Mac too? And it's perfectly built for the watch, because you can go out on a walk, save a voice memo with only your watch, and then get it from your phone or your iPad or your computer later. Your laptop, desktop, not computer. They're mm-hmm. all computers. I guess slightly off of iOS, but still related, is just AirPods not being tied to the fact that you might be looking at the screen. Like, there's definitely sometimes where it makes the assumption that you have your phone out as opposed to just using AirPods. But that would be nice. This is, I guess, maybe not a criticism, but this is, I'm starting to get into stuff I just want to, but still, that's what iOS should be, is like, it's still not perfect right now, and there's more that it could do. And one was AirPlay source control over the iPad and iPhone connected. So I want to be able to control my iPad with my iPhone, just like the music playback, because I am constantly doing a dance of like, where did I start music to play it to my AirPods or my HomePod. And just like, these things have great speakers. You could just have an iPad and you use that as a speaker and control it from your phone or your Apple Watch.
There's so many times where I get home and I want to throw, I just want to, because I'm like not in the same room as my HomePod, or I just don't want something that loud or whatever, and I just want to throw Overcast to my iPad, but then I have to pause it and wait. I mean, Marco Arment does an amazing job at sync, but it would be very nice.
And then this one is back into some like fundamental thing about iOS that has never made sense to me, is when I get delivered a notification, that data should be populated in the app when I open it. Like, I get a notification for a message, and then I open the app and wait for it to refresh and download the message again. It makes no sense. It's like, if I get a tweet, I should open it, and that tweet data should already be in there. It shouldn't have to reload it again. And that's just never made sense.
I can't tell if that's a, like, data management thing or a RAM issue. It gets
into, like, offline data, though, where apps should not, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a notification, and then I open it, and I'm not connected to the internet, and it's like, sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. And that the data's already on the phone, and it just doesn't pass through into the app. And I mean, just like more universal offline data would be awesome, because you don't need to be connected to the internet to use these. And it's totally fair to assume that a lot of people do, but even, I mean, maybe now too, like shortcuts, you might be intentionally turning that stuff off and just having it be non-functional when it's not connected to the internet seems silly. Like it, I get there's probably technical underpinnings against it, but I don't care.
But what about what about external storage on iOS?
So this was one that I don't know how. Okay, can you plug in a Windows hard drive to a Mac and just use it? Like, you can't, right? And that's what I didn't like the whole, like, this isn't formatted for a Mac computer versus a Windows. And that seems like a pretty fundamental problem that USB-C could immediately run into, is if you plug in a hard drive and it doesn't work, you're like, what the heck? This tablet is dumb, versus knowing that it can't do it and just not trying. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's a whole philosophical argument, but it's still, it's like, I think there's legitimate reasons why it doesn't work, because it would be a very bad experience.
Oh, and for sure.
I don't even, and the, like, how data transfers across that stuff is still complex too.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, that's one that's got to be coming. And I don't know how they get around that technical issue, but
I don't think they're going to get around it, but that's not really their technical issue to solve. There are just some, I mean, the same thing I think all LaCie drives that you get in an Apple store, you can't take it out of the box and use it with a Windows PC. And it works both ways. So that's the thing. The people who want to use that will hopefully have the technical expertise to be like, oh, yeah, it needs to be formatted for both iOS and macOS. That, what I'm curious is if they're going to have the same infrastructure for both, because, you know, you've got like the macOS journaled and like the various different ways you can encrypt, and also like how are you going to work with encrypted disks? There are a ton of variables at play, and I really think that it is coming, but I don't know, people just need to be patient.
I just wish that was part of the criticism of it, like acknowledging that this isn't just something that they're just refusing to do because it's the White Castle and all of the
right.
The headcanon of why they're making these decisions. Like, every problem that the iPad Pro has right now seems to stem from like technical issues, and technical debt is a real thing that, sure, they shouldn't have it,
yes.
But like, that's not how the world works. That's what's so weird, is it's such a human company, and people don't recognize that. It's not like this cog that just works because everything is like perfectly laid out. It's still a bunch of people figuring it out, and they get things done in meetings, not over email and stuff like that. So there's reason, and I don't know, still like they say no until it's time to say yes, and hopefully that is coming soon, but It seems like hard to just avoid it entirely, because there's so much here that's so much better than, like, I guess the thing that, here, wait, let me pull up this tweet, because I really enjoyed, I like people who aren't broken and can express feelings in an interesting way.
Well, I'm not one of those people, but I do think it's interesting how people seem to want Apple to function, that in their minds they see it as a faceless corporation who can do anything, as but they also want it to be like, well, they're, you know, they're all about human interfaces and I want it exactly like this, where I, for example, I love the smart keyboard Folio. I can't remember what it's called. It is perfect for me. And there are a lot of trade-offs, and I know people don't like it, but it's perfect for me. And I just lucked out at this point in time. But you don't see anybody with a Chrome tablet. Like, I don't know. Nobody is... I shouldn't say nobody is saying the Microsoft Surface is perfect, because folks will. But we're so used to being so satisfied with Apple products that if they don't immediately deliver, it's the end of the world. And the reason they can't immediately deliver is because our computing world is expanding so rapidly that this is a new paradigm. Sure, like, oh, it's 8 years old, but it's not.
Yeah, the iPad Pro isn't.
I think it's a dumb analogy.
Its third year of the Pro version, and.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a silly comparison.
I was saying this, I think, in the one we were just prepping, is like especially the 12.9-inch iPad Pro isn't just an iPad, and it's almost not even an iPad at all. It's a Pro iPad. I don't know. Okay, the words don't come together as cleanly as a sound bite might, but it's still, this is the least iPad. It's a tablet now. It's like this, to use Google's term for it, it's like a slate, and it is a computer that you can use that way. And it's the least like, because it is the least like an iPad. Like, I'm not going to hold this and like read articles on it in portrait mode, honestly, the 12.9, because it is so big and it's more like a computer, a different type of computer than ever. And not just like iOS or an iPhone, but bigger. And so the tweet that I was looking up, that this person was just like, my shame is that I haven't really been doodling just for the sake of doodling in the past year. And I got this iPad and suddenly doodling has become less daunting and scary. And I feel like I have easier access to my brain babies. And wow, I forgot that I like to draw. Yeah. And that was also just adorable. But I was like, easier access to my brain babies is like a perfect description of what it's like to use iOS, because I don't ever feel like I'm working when I'm using my iPad, which maybe that mindset isn't like, you can, you're not working.
Well,
but
you can't get, you can't get real work done.
but it's also just, I do see it as like this future where you just do the thing that you need to get done and you're not working all day long and spending hours like slaving away at a desk. It's like, not, surely it wasn't built for people to work in cubicles and work like in these classic environments that time has proven are like not necessarily effective. There used to be rooms and rooms full of people that are now replaced with Microsoft Excel. And I think what it does is enable the new type of like entrepreneurs or people who want to go out and start something. And even things like shortcuts fit into that more, because you can start doing more than you ever could with a computer because it was too confusing, and you can do it like from your phone while you're waiting for the train, and then bring it onto your main computer using shortcuts and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's, for me, what I was saying last episode of replacing the laptop, it's already for sure done that for me. Like, I don't know why I would need a laptop again, really, at this point. Especially, I mean, I have a desktop, which makes that difference. But eventually, especially with that new Jonathan Morrison video of him editing a whole video on the iPad, it's like, oh yeah, I already started doing some tests, and I didn't succeed at my first test, but I think that was also the way I'm shooting too, because I'm still figuring that all out and record for 50 minutes and try to do both tracks at the same time when I really do just need to shoot A roll and then B roll separately and not like the overhead, I think, is what makes me tired and I start making worse points in my speech. But it's soon it will be my only computer, and I'm just excited for people who are able to take that and adapt and maybe risk losing some productivity in the short term. But like Jonathan Morrison was even tweeting, he was like, guys, they're playing the long game here. And it's, if you get into it, it's pretty obvious. And you can also start to really feel it. Like this episode, this last episode of Supercomputer was entirely edited on the iPad, and I produced all the show notes and everything and uploaded it. So we're getting closer and closer.
Yeah, actually, I don't think I've ever uploaded. I can't remember the last time I uploaded something on a Mac. And I guess that's kind of frustrating because there are so many times where I need to pop into Logic and I'm not by my Mac because so it's gotten really, really close to replacing my laptop for me. But I always have to remind people that my laptop is my only Mac. That is my computer. There's a ton of people who could, sure, I can't do my audio and video editing right now on an iPad, but there are a ton of people who could not do their work on a MacBook. It's just a different machine. There are people who can't do their work on an iMac, but they can on an iMac Pro. I really, truly don't understand. Federico Vitici earlier today tweeted, "The beauty of computers is that they won't judge you. Use whatever computer you prefer. Use a terminal, a Mac, a PC, a phone, an iPad, a Chromebook. It doesn't matter. The work you do matters. Never let anyone tell you that the way you create something is wrong. Just do it." And a little heart. And that sounds really melodramatic. Unless you're in this community, and it's insane that people are just trying so hard to constantly dunk on the iPad. Sure, go. All right. I don't understand. It's no one's taking. It's the title of the episode. No one's taking this from you. Nobody.
That was one of the lines that I found from one of the iPad reviews that I was reading recently is, he was like, you still have your computer that you're using now. Like if you're coming across this problem, and unless you're one of those people who is pushing video production to like the fullest extent, keep your computer. Like you can get an iPad for your next computer, and you chances are like the old one is good enough. And then the iPad is what enables you to do something different that you haven't been able to do with that before. And maybe after that, it might not work out, but I think it's definitely like now is the time to try. And there's so much that's got to be coming. And I'm excited to share all of my ideas for Apple's apps and what they need to add to shortcuts, because that is like we have almost nothing now. And that's going to be so much better if we can actually use everything seamlessly and with shortcuts and put it all together ourselves. Like, I want the summer to come sooner. And also, I really hope it's actually this summer, because that would suck.
Well, the thing is, even I'm actually probably a person who would not sacrifice productivity to use an iPad, so for a while I was just like, no, this just isn't for me yet. And it's not like I was constantly shitting on all of my friends using iPads, and just then the iPad Pro happened, and and then that Matthew Casanelli and his workflow T-shirt
Matthew
that
Corleone.
But just let people have joy over the machines they use. It really isn't. God. Oh, and actually, I take that back. I think I would sacrifice, and I have sacrificed some productivity for for joy, basically, for enjoyment of the computing I do. For example, any task manager, honestly, they're bad. We all obsess over them, but it's not fun looking at all the things you need to do for the next week, usually. And email, not super fun for me, which is why I pretty much always do it on iOS, because it is a new and exciting thing that makes me happy. And I have been far more productive with my combination of my iPad, and my iPhone. And yes, not everybody can afford all of that. But guess what? Not everybody, but the majority of people have what we know as a PC and a phone right now. And that phone happens to be the backbone of the iPad. And it's only a matter of, as the phone gets more powerful, the rest of iOS is going to become more powerful. And also, hey, Apple is making a ton more money on iPads. Where the money is going is iPads. So that is where the future of computing is. And maybe that's why people are getting their panties in a twist, because they are afraid that their Macs are going to be taken away from them, which was, I think, for like a hot minute, plausible. And then Apple, for one of the very few times in history, they've broken their silence. They're like, no, you're good, everything's fine, and changed course, not just for pro users, but their laptops now, the innards are easier to replace on the new laptops. This company is listening, and I'm going all over the place, and I thought I was going to be the even-headed one in this episode. Yeah, clearly not.
I was gonna say, I'm curious how much in the long run we'll find out whether that is headcanon of that they were abandoning the Mac, and not just the literal technical Intel chips problem and stuff like that. Is maybe there's a chance we just got a little impatient and didn't like Apple's annual release cycle, which is another part of the problem. Is it'll be, at least now I'm excited for the future where instead of us being bored waiting for news to happen, we can make our own shortcuts and keep ourselves entertained in the meantime.
Exactly. Thank you for sharing your list, Matthew Gasanelli. I thought it was very good, except you did forget that Apple needs to add to iOS the Newton integration of writing things down and just turning it like OCRing it or whatever, because that would be really fun. But that's not, I don't think, I'm actually just surprised no apps have done that very well.
Are
you going to say Nebo?
But it's gone.
Because it's fine.
And that's what I was going
to... It's gone?
Yeah, I don't think it's not for sale anymore. But I think partially...
Okay. Oh, dear.
I didn't use it. And I want that in theory, but I'm not sure in practice that I necessarily want it. It would be nice, though, also. Notes is searchable based off of your handwriting, but... force you to be a lot more specific with how you write. And then, I know that Gruber was asking for that, and I don't know if he has great handwriting, and that being able to translate, it would be worse if your handwriting had to adapt to the system than it just searching what it can. I don't know. I think there are many areas, and I, in no way was my list comprehensive. I put that together this morning of, there's so many more places where iOS can go, and even uniquely for touch or for the pencil, that I still feel like it's almost like the beginning still. And Macs have been around for 30 years, and there's so much that we've barely even figured out this is great for. And I'm just excited to see it happen.
It's going to be good. And in the meantime, though, where can people find you online to get mad at you?
They can leave angry comments on youtube.com/MatthewCasanelli, or you can unfollow me on Twitter at Matt Casanelli. And what about you?
You can follow me on Twitter, I guess, but I have become way more into Instagram, and I'm also at Alex Cox, spelled C-O-X, not the other way, on Instagram. And I've never been like, man, I want followers, but now I do, so that I can link to stuff in Instagram, so please do that. And it's a place where I put my cats and stuff, but I'm putting more podcasty editing stuff in my stories, if that's your jam.
That's cool. I'm looking forward to that. And also, I did a test live stream on Friday on my Twitter account on Periscope. Wasn't fantastic. I was super confused because everything was reversed on my screen, but apparently live it wasn't. And I saw some that like the quality wasn't great enough there, but it's interesting. So look out for that if you want to get some more real time stuff. And I totally appreciate like comments, because that's what I want to do, is like in real time build stuff for people based off what they're saying. And then we also still haven't done it yet, but super_supercomputer on Instagram. Going to be doing you and I live streams. I think that's where we should do my home screen revamp, because probably too long for and boring for a or audio episode, but it should be pretty entertaining.
I'm going to be so mad the whole time. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Supercomputer.
See you later, nerds.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think you are sort of you want to make the right, if you're not making anybody annoyed or angry, then you're not like saying anything like definitive or interesting. Yeah. And I think, and I definitely should be like, that tweet was real, real snarky. Back it up. But I think because on the show, you get to talk about your nuances. Like there's more nuance, and you're able to articulate why it's frustrating. And you're also not passive aggressive. Like that's another thing I want to get into, but that's the thing. Being less direct is almost worse, I think.